Go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle.
This is Patriots Playbook.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the seven route.
Patriots Playbook, breaking down last Sunday's game.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because okay. The backers are going to fast read over the top.
Next Sunday's game.
Want to go odd. 5.
Patriots Playbook.
51 mirror.
And the rest of the 2007 NFL
season. Because that guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
And some of the fun stuff in between.
Even. 51 grapes. Even. 51 grapes.
And now... he's John Roy.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Hey, kids, welcome inside the playbook for Wednesday. It is week 10 in the NFL. Of course, that means the Patriots, if you follow along the schedule, aren't playing this week. It is the bye week. And, of course, yes, we know that they could probably use a little bit of the extra rest this week as they come off of the win over the Colts this past Sunday. But I think the Colts story is going to last with us a little while longer. Probably last with us, oh gosh, until maybe they meet again, theoretically, in the AFC Championship game coming up in January. So, and the reason that I bring that up is because there are a couple of items, most notably, and honestly, Gary, I'm not sure if they talked about it at all in the early part of PFW today because I didn't get a chance to listen to the first part of the show. But Tom Curran wrote on NBCSports.com how the NFL is going to quickly realize that it is on a slippery slope from which it may take a while to recover. Anybody mention that at all in the opening hour? Didn't think so. So here's the thing. If you haven't seen Tom Curran's piece, I don't like to drive traffic away from the website, but it's actually, and I'll read a couple of excerpts here because I think Tommy hits the nail on the head. Of course, Tom's been on this program before. Many of you remember Tom from his days covering the Patriots for the Metro West Daily News, and then certainly most recently for the Providence Journal from 2002 to 2006. And, of course, this is his second year now to cover the NFL for NBCSports.com. And Tom is also a frequent contributor on WEEI, and he does the New England Pro Football pregame show on Sundays, usually on game days as well, for EEI. And he wrote an article this week about how the hot-button topics that are emerging from what he calls as the biggest regular season game ever played in NFL history. And unfortunately, it's because of the NFL's closed-mouth attitude over the whole, you know, Spygate thing earlier in the year that this has sort of manifested itself. We mentioned on the program here yesterday, we talked a little bit yesterday when I had one of our up-and-comers on the program in studio with me yesterday, that the fact is that because of the Tim Donaghy official, you know, NBA officials' allegations and the indictments that came down on him over, you know, shaving some points here and there or what have you in the NBA over the last couple of years, that because he is a professional official, in and by itself, that was going to cause some scrutiny to baseball officials, to umpires, to football officials, to, you know, just to, and certainly to other basketball officials in, you know, in professional sports, whether they like it or not. And because the NFL tends to sort of stay closed mouth on this thing, play it close to the vest. And this is a lot of what the Patriots have been accused of over the years, you know, kind of keeping things close to the vest and whether or not, and we all question whether or not that's obviously the best way to go about things. But nevertheless, the point here is that because the NFL has been rather closed mouth about the whole Spygate issue and about some of these other issues, that it's starting to come out in everyday conversation. It's not going to go away until the NFL figures out a way to address this properly. Now, I realize they don't want to address it because if they address it, they feel like they're giving it credibility. And I guess to an extent, I can certainly understand that. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I think I understand it. Tom writes, there's an air of doubt among casual and even more rabid fans about the legitimacy of the product. And there's rampant skepticism that everything is always on the up and up around the NFL. And he says, it has its roots in the Patriots' week one sin at the Meadowlands, but the aftermath of the act and the ensuing conversation is doing serious collateral damage. Now, he goes on, and I'm bringing this up because I think this is excellent This is an excellent conversation to have. It's talk that we probably should be having because, first and foremost, we're all fans of the NFL. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be listening, and I wouldn't be talking about the Patriots or talking about professional football. We have to enjoy it, I think, somewhat in order to be able to do it every day. Fact is that he says, in the wake of the Patriots getting pinched by their mistakes, apologists argued that everybody does it. New England just got caught. You've had former coaches like Jimmy Johnson speak about how prevalent edge-seeking of every stripe really is, from signal-stealing to fishing notes out of locker rooms to spying on practices. The other side wondered what else the Patriots had been up to. The vow of silence Bill Belichick took on the matter drew comparisons to the Nixon administration, and NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell's quick closing of the case made a few wail, cover up. Okay. And, of course, this ball brings us to Sunday. Because John Perry was the head official, the head referee of the crew. And I think we all realized here yesterday, and we've been talking about it now for the third straight day, that in the aftermath of this 24-20 win over the Colts on Sunday, the one thing that really stands out above all else is that the officiating was terrible. It was, as Tom Curran put it, beyond bad. And this is what he points out. And I wonder how many of you have actually kind of come up with this in your own mind here. As we realize that there were a franchise record 10 penalties for 146 yards called on the Patriots on Sunday, it wasn't just the calls but the non-calls as well that were brought into play. Tom says that he counted 8 blatant mistakes that went against New England. And by the way, did you know that the pregame coin flip also was a mistake? Apparently, John Perry had to do it twice because he fumbled or at least didn't flip the first one properly. The Patriots made the call. Teddy Bruschi made the call, and that's how the coin ended up. Perry picked up the coin and tried to flip it again, which right there sent Teddy Bruschi into a tizzy. Hey, what are you doing? So that's the first thing that they screwed up. Once the coin is flipped no matter how well you flip the damn thing. So that was the first thing that went against the Patriots. Here are the other 8 calls that Tom has come up with. And how many of you came up with any of these? Okay, this is what I'm going to ask you right off the bat. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address, obviously. Webradio@patriots.com. You can also call the program at 508-543-7482. Now, this is what he came up with. 2 officials with an unimpeded view of the play rule Colts receiver Aaron Moorhead inbounds on a first quarter reception, even though his left foot landed entirely out of bounds. You remember that play? Number 2, a neutral zone infraction on the Patriots in the first quarter that gave the Colts a first down on 3rd and 2. 2 Patriots flinched at the same time and readjusted while a Colts offensive lineman jumped. It didn't appear that either got into the neutral zone, yet the neutral zone infraction was called. Number 3, Colts tight end Dallas Clark hauled down Patriots safety Rodney Harrison in the end zone, which prevented a chance at an interception and no call. Number 4, an inadvertent flag on New England for having offensive lineman Russ Hochstein lined up as an eligible receiver despite the fact that the announcement was made over the public address before the play that Hochstein was eligible. I guess not everybody on the officiating crew was clued into that fact. Number 5, the 40-yard pass interference penalty on Patriots corner Ellis Hobbs, despite his picture-perfect coverage against Reggie Wayne. Number 6, a defensive holding or pass interference non-call on Colt linebacker Gary Brackett as he covered running back Kevin Falk. Number 7, a phantom offensive pass interference call on Patriot receiver Randy Moss inside the Colts 10. That's one of the blatant ones that most everybody remembers. And then the final one was a block in the back by Colts wide receiver Moorhead on Rashad Baker during Joe Addai's 73-yard touchdown reception. Never called. The explanation? Bad day. The two teams were prepared for the show. Perry's crew was not. Tom Curran says they gagged. But conspiracy theorists, especially in New England, smell something more sinister. They imagine the black hat-wearing Patriots aren't in good graces with the officials, probably not a stretch. They imagine that because of the video mess, the league would rather see the Colts succeed than the Patriots, which is what Tom Curran calls a crock. And then he finally goes on to say, in the past couple of days, I've heard too many mentions of Tim Donaghy, the disgraced NBA official who bet on games and manipulated scores last season. It's absurd, and all of them have been on wildly unreliable and subjective sports talk radio, but sadly, it's a part of the conversation. Also part of the conversation was the allegation that Indy pumped artificial noise into the RCA Dome on Sunday. Well, two issues, basically, I think that are worth noting here, and Tom brings this out in his article. Number one, even though CBS didn't admit that it was pumping noise into Sunday's game, it is worth noting that they have done this before. They've done it for the NFL, and they got caught doing it originally. They wouldn't have told anybody they were doing it until they got caught during a 2000 broadcast of a golf tournament because some, you know, bird nut heard a species of bird that was not indigenous to the area in which they were broadcasting. If you can believe that. The other issue is that, well, obviously the Colts have had accusations thrown at them before about pumping artificial sound into the RCA Dome. In fact, I don't know if you saw this or not, but Jeremy Green of ESPN and ESPN.com, he's the son of the former Viking and Cardinals coach Dennis Green, he said during an online chat on ESPN.com a couple of days ago that the Vikings used to do that all the time in the 1990s. That is, pump in artificial sound. Okay? On top of all of this, you have the coach-to-quarterback communications that went down for the Patriots during the game on Sunday. And, of course, the Patriots have been accused on their own right of doing the very same thing to the opposition when they come into Gillette. So you've got too much stuff here. This is a lot of stuff that needs some sort of guidance. It begs some sort of explanation. We need to know that everything is on the up and up. I think it stands within reason that the conversation is going to continue and is going to grow louder anytime something like what happened this last Sunday goes. Now, I'm not going to stand here or sit here, as the case may be, and tell you that I think the NFL is crooked. Now, I'm not going to say that because, quite frankly, I'm a glass half full guy. I can't imagine that they would operate that way. I would think that this would have come out before then. However, I will tell you that there are certainly some issues here that do bear talking about and getting out into the open. Because the more that you cover up, the more that I think you admit guilt. Now, this is a free society. It's a free society in which to exchange opinions and viewpoints. But it's only free to a point. If you want access to, you know, the NFL, well, then I guess you got to play by their game. If you want to work for the New England Patriots, I think it stands within reason. You got to play their game. Although, I will say this about the Patriots. They're more than fair. To my knowledge, they have not censored me on this program, nor have they ever censored PFW in progress, although maybe sometimes they should, but that's another point. Another argument for another day. The Patriots have been wonderful employers. And my relationship with anybody who has given anything, any two hoots about what I do for this team has always been great. So, I think it's great that we're able to even talk about this because you could see where, you know, I mean, first of all, the NFL is a business. They have a right to conduct business the way that they want to conduct it. And if they want to conduct business as a closed cartel, well, then that's what they do. Like I said, it's a free society. They can operate their business and make their money any which way they want to. But all I'm saying is my biggest point here above all is that none of this is going to go away unless somebody comes from above and squashes it. Publicly does the squashing. And that's Roger Goodell. He needs to address this stuff. And he needs to assure us that, you know, John Perry's crew on Sunday was just bad. And that it's not going to happen again. Because first of all, I don't understand how the NFL could even possibly, and I think Mike Pereira, the official, you know, head of the officials for the NFL, who does appear on NFL Network from time to time, obviously, if you watch that on your cable or on your satellite, this is something that maybe even he needs to address more so than Goodell first and foremost. Maybe he'll get the directive to do so. I don't know. But I don't know how the NFL in good conscience can put a crew with a rookie ref like John Perry, even though he had 8 years, I guess it was, experience as a side judge or line judge in the NFL leading up to this season. I don't know how they could put a rookie ref in a game of such magnitude that people are calling it the biggest regular season game in the 88-year, or whatever it is, not 88-year history of the NFL, but you know what I'm talking about. How many years have we been doing? Yeah, 88. That's right, it is 88. Absolutely. 88-year history of the National Football League. I knew that number stuck in my head for some reason. We've talked about it already this year. 88 years this league has been around. This was the biggest regular season game ever? Well, then why are you putting the crew on that you're putting on the field? Don't you think, you know, if the media and the fans are calling this Super Bowl 41 and a half, don't you think maybe you should have at least an experienced crew on the field rather than treating this like just another regulation, run-of-the-mill NFL game? See, the NFL needs to take full accountability of itself, and it needs to take full blame for the abysmal officiating on the field. Now, I've just given you the examples that went against the Patriots. I'm sure, and I haven't done the research on this one, so forgive me for that, because obviously, you know, we're a little one-sided in our estimation here, but I'm sure that there are some Colts fans and probably some Colts media that have, you know, taken a look at the calls in that game and probably griping somewhat about some of the calls that went against them, even though it was very one-sided in Indianapolis' favor, and they still lost the game. Let me ask you then. Here is the number one overall email topical question of the day. Do you think the NFL is on the up and up? Based on what I've just told you, based on Tom Curran's article on NBCSports.com, which I think hits the nail on the head, great job by Tom, because he's saying some things that quite frankly needed to be said. And it brings all this out into the open. I mean, we can finally get past, I think, if we discuss this and get it out into the open and finally come to some kind of a reasonable conclusion at all, we can get past Spygate, we can get past Noisegate, or whatever you want to call it, from the RCA Dome this last weekend. But this stuff is still going to happen. And every time something questionable comes up, every time a bad call comes up, okay, we're going to come up with some other kind of gate to call it. The NFL has got to tackle this thing head on. It's got to be proactive. The NFL has got to be what we all think it to be, and that is to be a league that has been above reproach at every step of the way. And frankly, I don't think the way that they're acting now is above reproach. What they're doing right now by staying closed mouth and keeping their cards close to the vest, what they're doing is they're just feeding the media frenzy. They've got to address this. You know, I'm one of those ones that thinks sometimes, you know what, don't make something out of nothing. Let it blow over. It'll blow over. I mean, I really, that's generally speaking, that's my conclusion with most things. I don't think this is blowing over, kids. I really don't. I don't think this is blowing over at all. It's only going to get worse. Now, maybe some of this has something to do with the rivalry between the Patriots and the Colts. I think it's pretty clear now that we do finally have, once again, a real rivalry in the NFL. I know we were bemoaning the fact a few years ago that it weren't real rivals in this league anymore because parity kind of brought that down to earth. Well, that's not the case anymore. We got us a rivalry now. Pats and Colts. I mean, there's some hatred there. I'm not feeling the love between Boston and Indianapolis at all. That's fine. It's good for the. It's good for the rivalry. It's good for everything. But unless we talk about this, unless we get this out in the open, unless somebody addresses the poor officiating and why the league has decided to keep itself quiet as to the whole Spygate issue, unless somebody steps up and says something that will stop the chatter is going to continue. So again, I ask you, do you feel like the NFL right now is completely on the up and up? Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Webradio@patriots.com, 508-543-7482, telephone number. Our friend Craig joins us here inside the playbook. Hello, Craig.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Great.
You just asked the question, do I believe the NFL is completely on the up and up? In the words of Tom Brady, hell no.
All right, now, you tell me, Craig, why you think the NFL is not on the up and up and whether or not this is a good thing for the sport.
Okay, first and foremost, you know, without people looking at me as one of those who believes in conspiracies, because I don't really think that's what it is. I think it's all about Goodell. You know, he's worn a dictator cap ever since he stepped in. I mean, he's laying down fines and penalties that aren't defined anywhere. You know, he's pretty much, you know, shooting from the hip on a lot of these rulings that he's making. And I think that's what he did by destroying, you know, whatever evidence the Pats turned in. Because I made this point to Fred Kirsch on PFW. You know, as smart as Belichick is, I wouldn't be a bit surprised if there's video evidence from our tapes of the guys on the other sideline doing the same thing. And they didn't want that getting out. You know, I honestly believe that's part of it.
You know, I never thought of that.
You know,
I never thought of that, Craig.
It's happened, and that's the reason why all that stuff got shredded, okay? The other thing is this. It's almost obvious. I mean, whenever the Patriots do something bad, it's smeared all over ESPN and the NFL Network. You haven't heard squat from either one of them this week about the issue of the headsets, the coach-to-quarterback communications being a problem. Is it being investigated or not? I haven't heard squat because they're not talking about it. All this conspiracy talk is pretty much limited to, you know, the Pats radio. There's very little of it going on, which is why I'm so glad, you know, that Curran wrote that article. Now, with regard to the Colts piping in noise, whether they did or not, we don't know. There's an easy way to find out, though. Somebody just play back WEEI's radio broadcast with Gil and Gino for that particular aspect that's in question and see if it's audible, because they said it was a problem with the playback on the a feedback issue from the tape on CBS. Well, if that's it was limited to just the CBS audience. Well, if that's the case, it won't be on anybody's radio.
Well, that's true.
So if somebody goes back and listens to that point in the game that's at issue, and it's on the radio, guess what? It was piped in.
Well, yes, that's true. It would be.
I mean, because
I only have heard of one or two instances where somebody said that they heard it in the stands, but it came from Patriots fans. So I'm not sure. I mean, I mentioned yesterday on the show that Lenny Clark was one of those, and he was on EEI on Monday talking about it. And frankly, I mean, Lenny's, he kind of stirs the stuff, you know? So I'm not so sure how credible he would be.
I guess my point is, John, everybody's so quick to accept, you know, what the NFL's ruling is on it. You know, has anybody checked the radio broadcast to see if it showed up?
I don't know. We should ask WBC in that question.
Then you can't accept CBS's acceptance of blame.
Yeah. Understood. Yeah. WBCN would ultimately be able to answer that question. I mean, they're the only ones that could do that. If they recorded the whole game, then they're the ones that could answer that question. And if you can't hear it during that very play, then obviously it's a moot point. And maybe the NFL has done that, Craig. Maybe the NFL did that. All set?
Yep.
Okay. Craig, I appreciate your phone call. Thank you. That would be worth, you know, that would be worth probably investigating, although I know that WBCN has their own bag of you-know-what to kind of deal with because of the whole Opie and Anthony stunt that they did yesterday concerning Tom Brady, which was just, you know, stupid, number one. But that's what they do. They do stupid radio. And I think now, you know, the problem here is that, you know, your flagship radio station, WBCN, has a morning show that originates in New York. It doesn't originate in Boston. And so you have a couple of guys who were acting on the whims of probably some disgruntled Jets fan. They're making up stories. They're making up stories. And that's what they do on Tuesdays. It's called Make Up Stuff Tuesday. And I don't listen to the program all that often because, quite frankly, I'm not sure that I'm in tune to that kind of humor. But I understand that's, you know, a lot of shock stuff, and it's a lot of Howard Stern's type of stuff. And that's fine for that particular audience. And if you like it, hey, more power to you. That's why you have choices to make. We all have choices to make in life, right? But they, you know, went on to say that Tom had a dirty urine test show up, positive for steroid use or something. But they decide what they do on this day on Tuesdays is they say in the opening hour of the program, we're going to have fans call in. You're going to have people call in, fans of the show call in and to say, all right, what story should we make up today? We're going to make up a story. So they basically prefaced everything they did by saying, this is made up. This is a lie. And so some probably disgruntled Jet fan said, hey, let's make up a story that Tom Brady's on drugs. And so that's what they went with. And so they opened up their 7 o'clock hour of their program yesterday, basically by playing it as straight as you would hear any radio station play the story, just like it was breaking news. That's how they did it. Now, if you hadn't been listening in the 6 o'clock hour, if you had just turned on the radio and heard them say that for the first time, I can understand where you'd be a little concerned. I can understand where you might pick up the phone and call somebody about it. And the Boston Herald and the Patriots and everybody took calls on that. I guess Tom Brady suspended was the most Googled phrase on the Internet yesterday. So the point is that if you hadn't heard before 7 o'clock, you would not have known anything about this. Is it irresponsible? Well, yeah, sure. But it's part of what, you know, shock radio does. They thrive on irresponsibility. I mean, in fact, these two guys that do this syndicated show out of New York were fired from WAAF in Boston. Those of you who, you know, are listening in the New England area probably remember that from, what was it, 1998, I believe it was, they did a story on the supposed automobile accident and death of Tom Menino. And that got him fired from WAAF. That got him fired for doing something that senseless and stupid and irresponsible. And so they, you know, still, you know, prefaced their story yesterday by saying this is a lie, but they went on with the story anyway, and it caught a lot of people by surprise, and it certainly created a lot of uproar, you know, in internet chat rooms apparently, you know, throughout yesterday. I found out about it yesterday after we were off the air, yesterday afternoon. I found out about it because a television station in Providence called me and wanted to know if there was anything to it. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. First of all, consider the source. Opie and Anthony, if you've ever heard the show, they're a couple of knuckleheads. So anyway, I'm just saying, you know, irresponsibility is very prevalent. People will say and do anything. There is no just, I mean, integrity is a very, very short-lived thing nowadays, and that's a shame. It's just a shame, especially when it comes to doing things on radio or newspaper or television or whatever. I mean, people who actually do this for a living are getting lumped in with a bunch of bad eggs, and it's just not fair. And the only way that, you know, the schlock, and getting back to the original meaning of our conversation today, and my whole point to opening up the program today was, the only way that any of this goes away, that you stop this, and that you create a clear delineation between what is fact and what is fiction, is you address it, you itemize it, you address every single one of these things, and then you do away with it and say, and we're not going to address it anymore after today. It's over. It's done with. But the secrecy is what causes people to still mumble. And it's what causes people to do stupid things like, you know, what happened on the radio yesterday. Now, you'll never completely do away with the knuckleheads. And there's always going to be someone who's going to pull a stunt that will go awry and, you know, somebody will end up losing a job for it or what have you, or it'll tick somebody off or whatever. I mean, it's always going to happen. But the fact is the NFL is adding to an already existing set of problems by trying to apparently ignore them. So do, again, the original question here today, webradio@patriots.com. Do you believe the NFL is on the up and up? About anything and everything. If you think that they're not on the up and up, as Craig from South Carolina thought, well, then tell me why. What aspect of the NFL's way of going about their business has caused you to raise an eyebrow? Or are you kind of like what the saying, you know, that we laugh about around here is? You know, we say around here, in Bill we trust, right? Well, in the NFL do you trust? Just because the NFL has been in business for 88 years, and it certainly right now would appear to be the most popular professional sport, maybe the most popular sport, period, in the United States? Do you trust? Hey, whatever they do is good for me. I'll follow it anyway. Or is there something that's caused you to raise an eyebrow and say, hey, what's up with that? That's kind of what I'm getting at today, and that's really why I'd like to hear from you today. Webradio@patriots.com. We have, some other stuff to get to today. We'll hear from Patriots head coach Bill Belichick. He held court yesterday. Of course, the team is off the rest of this week. They have been dismissed. They have a chance now to enjoy the week with their families and take care of, you know, whatever business they have to take care of, but certainly rest and relax, a little R&R. That's what a lot of teams obviously try to do during their bye week. The bye week certainly comes at a good time. It never comes at a bad time. That's something that Coach Belichick said during Patriots Monday, and obviously I agree with that. I mean, I think everybody likes to feel like, well, it'd be great if you hit it in the middle of the season as opposed to the first part of the season. But you know what? It comes when it does, and whenever it comes, it's appreciated. Even if it comes in as early as week 4 or 5 or as late as, you know, week 12 or 13, it's still appreciated when it gets here. Now, it certainly makes sense, you know, from a style point of view, to have it toward the middle of the season. But really, it's not the middle of the season, even though this, you know, the Patriots have played 9 games. It's really not the middle of the season because you have to include the exhibition season and you have to include training camp. So you're talking about a team now that has played 13 games, counting the preseason, and plus, you know, a couple of weeks of training camp. They've been going for 15 weeks without a break. So if you really wanted to go with the halfway point of the season, you know, you got 15 weeks they've done. You've got 7 weeks left to go. Then they should have had their break, about 4 weeks ago? You know, after, you know, what, week 5? That probably would have been more right about the halfway point of the entire season. But, you know, hey, like I said, it is what it is, and the team is able to rest and relax a little bit and get away from it, you know, at least for a couple of days, and then they'll come back in over the weekend, and they'll hit the ground running on Monday to prepare for the Buffalo Bills 1 week from this Sunday, which will be a Sunday night game. And, of course, those that didn't hear, one other Patriots game has already been flexed to a different starting time in addition to the Buffalo game at Buffalo being moved to a Sunday night game for NBC. The home game with the Pittsburgh Steelers on December the 9th has also been flexed to the new television schedule, so it has moved from a 1 o'clock to a 4:15 Eastern time kickoff on Sunday, December 9th. So that will be the second game of a national doubleheader on Sunday the 9th from Gillette Stadium as the Patriots will entertain the Pittsburgh Steelers that day. So, and of course, any game in the last 7-8 weeks of the schedule is subject to the new flex rule, so there's a good possibility that the Patriots may have, you know, one or two other games flexed to different starting times. As Dick Ebersol pointed out in response to the Patriots-Bills game being put on that flex schedule to the NBC Sunday night game next week, and he's, of course, the president of NBC Sports, his reasoning behind it was, well, the Patriots are the hottest story in the NFL right now. They're the most compelling story in the NFL because they're 9-0 and they have a legitimate chance to run the table and become the NFL's first team to ever go 16-0 in a regular season. And so they feel like that's compelling reason enough to show the Patriots and put them in prime time or give them the national time slot because people will be interested. And let's face it, not everybody's going to be rooting for the Patriots. I think we all know that. In fact, I'd say outside of New England, no one is going to be rooting for the Patriots because we all love the underdog in this country, and everybody's going to pull for the underdog. I want to see the, you know, big, bad Patriots get beat, finally, by somebody, anybody. But to television execs, that's compelling television. You know, if you're a polarizing figure, you're going to get viewership or listenership from both sides, those that love you and those that hate you. If you're ambivalent, well, you're not going to watch. If you don't care, you're not going to watch anyway. So that's why teams who are, you know, down the middle or teams that aren't creating a buzz, they're not going to get the buy, they're not going to get the play in the national spotlight. But the teams that are creating the buzz, whether positively or negatively, they are going to get the spotlight because they know that people will watch. Whether they love them or hate them, they're going to watch them. Love me, hate me, don't ignore me. Use that line on my journalism class this last week. when it came to talk radio. And this is basically what talk show hosts, this is what they're all about. Love me or hate me, but just don't ignore me. And that's really what the NFL is saying about the Patriots. Love me or hate me, but just don't ignore me. All right, let's sneak a timeout in here. Then what we're going to do is we'll come back and we'll read some emails. We have some locker room interviews to get into as well as we got a chance to hear from some of the Patriots players as they checked out of their locker room situations yesterday before heading off for home, wherever home may be, over the course of the next week before returning to Gillette Stadium next Monday to prepare for the Bills. We've also got Bill Belichick to bring you as well. And I'm really interested in your thoughts on the National Football League concerning this story that Tom Curran wrote on NBCSports.com and how it was just such a horrid job of officiating that it just brings into play the fact that there may not be everything on the up and up about this league. Is it possible? Should we be talking about this? Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. We're back after this.
Oh, my goodness! Michael Parkhurst! Are you kidding me?
For the sixth straight season, your New England Revolution has advanced to the Eastern Conference Championship game.
That is unbelievable.
Thursday, November 8th at 7:30 p.m., Gillette Stadium will be rocking when the Revs take the field versus the Chicago Fire. With a win, they're in and will advance to MLS Cup 2007. Call 1-877-GET-REVS for tickets to this pivotal match. With the U.S. Open Cup Championship under their belts, the Revs are shooting for the MLS Cup trophy and another championship for New England. Tickets start at just $18 and significant discounts are available for groups of 20 or more. Bring your family or group and cheer on the Revs to the championship. Call 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 to get your Eastern Conference Championship ticks and get the Revolution.
I'm in a dryer trapped in the lint vent.
Right now, there are millions of coins out there that have been forgotten. Coins with real value.
I'm next to a French fry under the passenger seat.
Bank of America is doing something to end this senseless epidemic. It's called Keep the Change. Once you enroll, every purchase you make with your Bank of America Visa check card is rounded up to the next dollar, and the difference is transferred from your checking account to your savings.
I'm in an empty mayonnaise jar in the garage.
So the next time you spend $10.20 at the grocery store, you'll be doing your part to put 80 cents into your savings account. Please, give this change the opportunity to really add up.
I've been sitting on a record player needle since 1982.
Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity. Open a checking account and enroll in Keep the Change today.
Member FDIC, patent pending.
When you've got a lineman-size hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Food Master, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Yeah, kids, we're just a few days away from the inaugural edition of Patriots Match Game 2007. That's right. We're going to have some real fun. Next Tuesday, you want to tune in, Patriots Playbook next Tuesday. It's going to be appointment listening next Tuesday. Now, I realize this is the bye week. There'll be very little to talk about. You probably won't be able to get, you know, all in a lather over, you know, the upcoming game against those vaunted Buffalo Bills, although they are playing better lately. They've won three in a row. If they win, they'll be 5-4 going into that game next week. But that's beside the point. Next Tuesday, we're going to have some fun. We're going to play Patriots Match Game 2007.
And we're going to give a couple of you a chance to win a Patriots yearbook. I'm talking about like the media guide, one that has all the facts and figures for 07. And we're going to even autograph it. The whole PFW crew plus myself will all autograph it for you too, although that might cheapen the overall value. We're going to give you... And well, actually, maybe what we should do, Gary, is we should probably just have Christina autograph it by herself, include it with a photo. What do you think? Does she have any, like, publicity photos?
I'll check.
Okay, you should ask, because if we do it, well, that's just going to muck this stuff up. We don't want to do that. Well, we could get Christina to do that. Anyway, next Tuesday on the show, we're going to play Patriots Match Game 2007. And for those of you that are Game Show Network freaks, or if you're like me, and you grew up watching Gene Rayburn in the Match Game on network television, on CBS television, or you basically, loved it when you were sick home from school because you could stay home and watch shows like The Match Game and The Price is Right and all that kind of stuff. Well, this is the day for you, because we got some great questions that we have asked of our panel, and we're going to give you a chance to match the answers to those questions as the Match Game is normally played, and the winning contestant is going to take home his prize or her prize, whichever the case may be. So just a little bit of cannon fodder, a little food for thought, a little bit of a tease for next Tuesday, but that will be on next Tuesday's Patriots Playbook from 2 until 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Be here on Patriots.com Radio. Aloha. Can't wait. Gary's already given me a sneak preview of some of the stuff. It's good stuff. All right, let's get to some emails here from earlier today and also from just a couple of moments ago. Again, webradio@patriots.com. That's our email address, webradio@patriots.com. Our topic of the day has to do with whether or not you think the NFL is completely on the up and up. When you consider, take into consideration the poor officiating job this last week, the alleged piping of sound into the RCA dome, Spygate included, is the NFL on the up and up, or do they condone this sort of behavior? I mean, right now, their silence is deafening. I'd have to say that even though I mentioned earlier in the hour, I like to think of things, I'm more of a glass half full kind of guy. I just don't think that the NFL would purposely do anything that would encourage, shall we say, some shenanigans going on behind the scenes. But I have to admit that my faith in the National Football League as a complete lily white organization, full of integrity and, nothing but the game and above board and all that kind of stuff, my confidence in that is shaken a little bit. It's shaken a little bit. I just don't know how they can put that kind of an officiating crew on the field for such a game like last Sunday. Unless, of course, they had an ulterior motive. I'm not saying exactly what that ulterior motive is, but I'll leave you to think of that for yourself and let your own imagination run with that. All right, let's see what we have email-wise today in the bag. Patrick in Guelph, Ontario. Question about Troy Brown. I read that the team has started the clock on Troy, and this prompted a fight between my friend and I about what the team should do. My argument, the team will have to cut Kelly Washington, Kyle Eckel, whoever is playing on the, he didn't finish the sentence here, I'm guessing special teams. Team is among the deepest in the league for wide receivers. It's a huge question of what Brown has left to give. His argument, well, the team owes number 80 a spot on the team based on everything he's done for the team. He's the ultimate Patriot. I'm the biggest fan of Brown that there is. I think he deserves a place in the Patriots Hall of Fame, but I would rather see him in the front office in a cushy job as an ambassador for the Patriots than as the team's fifth receiver. Who's right? Well, actually, neither one of you. First of all, this team is not going to do him any favors. Okay, they're not going to owe number 80 a spot on the team based on everything he's done for the team in the past. They're going to give him a spot on the team if they think he can contribute. Right now, apparently, they think he can contribute. You have to also keep in mind now that he does contribute to special teams, and he also contributes to the defense in a lot of nickelback situations. So, Patrick, I mean, you talk about him being the ultimate team player. That's exactly why the team values someone like him on the roster. And when you think about it, I mean, what are they getting from Kelly Washington right now? I mean, I realize Kelly Washington also contributes to special teams, and I'm not denigrating him in any way. But when you consider that what Troy gives you, the full package, does Kelly Washington give you more on offense than Troy Brown would? I would argue no, he doesn't. Does Troy give you at least what Kelly does in special teams? I would argue yes, if not more.
Kelly doesn't give you anything on defense. Troy does. To me, I don't think there's much of a decision to be made where that's concerned. And again, I'm not trying to denigrate or put Kelly Washington down. I think he's a good receiver. I hope he gets a chance to play here. But right now, I think Troy is more valuable to this team overall. That would be my thought on the subject. Shula's comments. Well, here we go on this one again, right? This one comes from Pat. He says, when I first heard about Shula's whine about the Pats' potential undefeated season needing an asterisk, my first reaction to pass it off is just a grumpy old man trying to protect the uniqueness of a record he has held so long. However, as the news spread to the national media and was being reported on, I changed my mind. On PTI, both Wilbon and Kornheiser gave it a double wow. Then Kornheiser, who's sort of an everyman kind of columnist, stated that he had now changed his mind about the importance of Spygate as an issue, and because it was coming from such an eminent source as Don Shula, it carried much more weight. So if he is feeling that way, I believe a lot of middle America is feeling the same way. Well, that did it for me. Rather than withering on the vine like it should have, this story keeps on getting legs, and it's time for it to stop. And the only way it will stop is if the real truth comes out. Bingo! Somebody say bingo! I think Troy's catchphrase is appropriate here. Tom Curran and his column, by the way.
Bingo!
Yep, that's right. Called the infraction tantamount to aggravated jaywalking, or in other words, being caught for a procedural infraction. Now it's time for the truth to come out. Tom Brady has stated on several occasions, when asked about comments by the haters, that in this locker room, we know the truth, and that's enough for us. Well, Tom, the time has come to share the truth with the rest of us. It's time to let the haters know what you know, so that that makes you so comfortable with this situation. Roger Goodell has seemed to have proven that he could teach George Bush a few things about bleeping up a good thing with his handling of this whole thing. His overreacting with the Pats' punishment and his allowing rank speculation and innuendo to go unanswered has not only hurt the Patriots, but it's hurt the entire league. I think it's becoming clearer every day that Goodell must have some unreported beef with the Pats that goes back a long way. He has left them twisting in the wind, despite his initial pronouncement that none of what the Pats recorded led to the Pats gaining an unfair advantage in the game. Goodell needs to come out with a definitive statement that lets people know what the Pats taped, how the tapes were used by the Pats, and why, if the tapes didn't give the Pats a competitive edge, why the punishment was so heavy-handed, and why he destroyed them, though I think I know why he did. If he doesn't, the Spygate will be followed by Audiogate, Capgate, Druggate, etc., all of which just hurts the credibility of the league in general. Pat, you're 110% dead on, which was the whole idea behind my, you know, my opening comments to you on the program today. This is not going anywhere, and it's not going to be good the longer that it goes on. And that's why I ask you the question. Is the NFL, in your estimation, on the up and up? Or do they legitimately, in your estimation, have something to hide? You're entitled to your opinion. That's what I want to know. Karen in Scituate, Rhode Island. I am a huge Patriots fan, but I am real tired of all these fans calling in and complaining about Don Shula, Steve Young, Tom Jackson, etc., with their negative comments about the Patriots. Stop blaming these commentators for their unflattering comments about the Patriots and start blaming the person responsible for it all, Bill Belichick. Yes, your head coach of the New England Patriots is responsible for it all. Bill is the one who was so arrogant and continued using his video camera and got caught. Bill is the one who is monotone, uncooperative, and rude during press conferences. Bill is the one who refused to utter Eric Mangini's name last year and caused a distraction for himself and the Patriots. If our head coach had not done any of these things, we would be hearing about how great the Patriots are playing this year and not all this negativity about the Patriots. I watch the Patriots for the players, not the coach. But I do have to say, I have never seen anyone as mentally tough as Bill Belichick, because despite all the distractions he causes for himself and his team, he does not care and continues to win. Amazing. But please, understand, your coach is the reason for the negative comments. You know, Karen, I can't say that that's unfair at all. I don't think it's in, I think there's more to the story than that, because I don't think it's just, I don't think Bill rules completely with the iron hand that I think most are led to believe that he does. But, you know, the bare essence of your email, I think, is factually correct. That, you know, had none of this occurred, had Spygate not occurred, we wouldn't be talking about any of this. And certainly we wouldn't be talking about how poorly an officiated game. Well, we'd be talking about that, but we wouldn't be relating it back to Videogate or Spygate or whatever you want to call it. and there wouldn't be any hook. But see, the whole Spygate issue gave us a hook. And it's a hook that's, you know, is going to be hard to get from this big fish's mouth. It's until you address it, until you deal with it, until you don't treat it like the 800-pound gorilla sitting in the corner, it's going to continue to come back. It's a good email, and it's a fair email. Doug, who says he's on a base in the Middle East, says, I wanted to say that the Pats-Colts game was exhausting but great. When you're watching a game on an Army post, you're forced into watching it with a half room full of fans for the opposite team, which sucks. But I had the last laugh, even though everyone had them down for the count with 10 minutes to go. I also wanted to ask, as I am positive that the Pats are going to the Super Bowl, if you think of any of the teams in the NFC that have good records, the Packers, the Lions, or the Giants will be able to compete with the Pats, though obviously, says here, they'll obviously not win against them in the Super Bowl. Okay, maybe not the Lions. I'm also discounting the Cowboys based on their game against the Pats. Right now, I think the Cowboys are probably the best team. In fact, I would argue, Doug, that I think the Cowboys show that you probably can play against the Patriots. I just think the Cowboys executed very well. They certainly show that you can score on this team. But I also think that teams will continue to play a lot of that, Tampa cover two defense and try not to let Randy Moss beat you deep and take your chances with receivers going over the middle. And then I mentioned this several weeks ago, but I think the best way that you really go after the Patriots is if you get physical at the line of scrimmage as best you can, jam them at the line of scrimmage, and then when they catch the ball, you deal out double punishment. You just have to be so physical that you literally beat them into a pulp. Kind of like how the Patriots did the Rams receivers and how they did the Colts receivers in years gone by. Best you can. You have to make the Patriots receivers pay for going over the middle while taking away the sidelines. So I think the Cowboys will probably learn a little something from that. I still think the Cowboys are the best team in the NFC right now. And they're probably the team in the NFC that could give the Patriots, or the Colts for that matter, the most trouble in the Super Bowl, should it get down to that. Doug, I appreciate you taking the time to email us. Godspeed to you, my man. Sam from Denmark. I thought the Pats' superior talent eventually overcame the poor officiating. It would be interesting to see a rematch against a healthy Colts team called by some decent officials in the AFC Championship game. I wonder if Freeney and Mathis would be slower on the Foxville Field turf in January, but Light and Kazier got to play better than they did in the first three quarters of this game. By the way, Don Shula is a baby. When Nick Saban got the Alabama job, he was crying about how his son, who can't coach, should have been kept for that job. Blah, blah, blah. He's just making a fool of himself right now. I'm a little surprised that Coach Shula, as I said yesterday, is coming out and taking this kind of a stand, especially in light of all of his, business holdings as well with his restaurants in places like, old New England, specifically in Providence. Can't be good for business having a coach whine against the home team here. Whining doesn't do you any good. Jim Mandich put it very well. He's one of those guys that's always sipping champagne when the last undefeated team goes down with everybody else, and he's known as a big, big homer in Miami, and he does the color on the Dolphins radio broadcast. But Mandich actually put it well when he said, we would welcome the Patriots to the club of unbeatens, and I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said yesterday. And quite frankly, that's the only way for any of those guys to look at it. Because if anything, 19-0 is going to be better than 17-0, right? Two extra games. 16-0 is going to be better than 14-0, right? Yeah, well, there you go. Let's see what else we have here. A couple of others we want to jump into, and then we're going to get off inside the locker room and let you hear from some of the players. And Brian Lowe has joined us. B. Lowe, what's shaking? Not here yet. Good enough. There you are. What's up, man?
Oh, I'm here.
Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Great. How you doing?
I'm excellent.
It's good to see you.
It's always good to be seen.
Always good to see you.
Always good to be seen.
How's it going?
What's your take on the whole Don Shula and the Opie and Anthony thing that happened yesterday on the radio? I mean, it was just, stupid stuff, but I wonder where you kind of come from in all this.
Yeah, what a game that was Sunday, huh? I
kind of buy that by now, Brian, but that's okay.
My first time to talk about it. No, I mean, just on both of them, why? Why are we, the Opie and Anthony, I mean, I don't listen to them, but I guess this is what they do on Tuesdays. But, you know, they've gotten into trouble in the past for things that they've said. And I just 5 minutes ago was talking to someone about this, and someone brought up a good point. Was it even funny? Like, it's one thing if it was a funny joke, but what's funny? It wasn't even – there was no humor in it. Tom Brady suspended for drug use? I mean, I don't understand why you would go in that direction. You know, whether it's a joke kind of a segment or whatever, I just don't understand. I don't find the humor in it. I just don't understand why you would even why risk that one? You've gotten into trouble in the past. That's a volatile matter. You know, you're talking about a prominent, athlete in this town, and you know, do you want to get on people's bad side? I don't know. I don't know their shtick. I don't listen to it. It just. I don't understand why you go in that direction. The Shula thing, I'm also wondering. I mean, I understand he was part of that 72 team and that undefeated team, and those guys might still want to hold on to that record. But why, you know, why are you going there? Like, why, you know, keep your thoughts to yourself is what, the way I feel about that one. And, look, I just think that if anything, sometime, at some point, people who want to make comments about where the Patriots stand right now, asterisk, did they cheat? Did they not cheat? You're only motivating them more. If Don Shula's goal was, I want to rile them up because I want them to be distracted by what I have to say, well, you're going to rile them up, and they're going to be motivated by what you say and want to continue to prove these doubters wrong. And, you know, I mean, I wonder, like, what Shula's trying to, you know, is he just, I don't know what he's trying to prove here. I mean, you know, I don't know what the benefit is for some of these people to say some of these things, you know?
I don't either. That's why sometimes the best policy is to not say anything at all, but people tend to sometimes forget that.
Right, and I just, you know, we were in the locker room yesterday, the last opportunity to talk to players before the bye week, and it just so happened to be just a couple of hours after the story started to break about what Shula had to say, and a few players were asked about it, and the general consensus, and Teddy Bruschi, I think, was the most outspoken about it, saying, you know, you could tell that he was bothered by it in the sense that you never want anyone to question your integrity or what you do, let alone a well-respected Hall of Fame coach in the profession that you're in. But he certainly alluded to the fact that, if anything, we need to play and fight harder to continue to win, to prove them wrong. So that's what I'm saying. It just, you know, I think that when players say, you know what, I don't care, it doesn't bother me, some might be telling the truth, but I think some of them, it actually does bother them. But it bothers them not in the, oh man, maybe we did cheat, maybe they're right. It bothers them in the, we gotta keep it up because we want to prove these people wrong, you know?
Well, yeah, so, it just takes away from their on-field accomplishments.
Right. Ultimately, let's say they do go undefeated, and let's say they go 16-0, and then they win the Super Bowl. You know, there won't be an asterisk, certainly, but there may still be lingering, you know, talk about what transpired over the course of this year with, you know, team being fined and a first-round pick and all that, but the record, you know, the record and the Super Bowl will be there legitimately, and I think that's the way these players and the way the team feels, and that's what's going to motivate them, you know.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly right. And the fact is that these guys, at least in the Patriots locker room, were trying to let their actions speak for themselves rather than get caught up in all of this. My initial premise today, Brian, was, you know, because of, you know, did you read Tom Curran's article on NBCSports.com?
You know, I haven't. On Shula? Okay. On the Shula remarks?
Not so much on Shula, but on Shula and the poor officiating and everything else that's transpired. And his article really hits the nail on the head because, quite frankly, everything that has transpired all the way back to, you know, Spygate earlier in the year, it's because the NFL's silence has been deafening on this. They need to address some things. Otherwise, the speculation is going to continue to be rampant. And unless you address some of these things and deal with it in a head-on fashion, more things are going to create, you know, problems for the league. This is where, you know, and he brought up a point that, you know, and we talked about this a little bit on yesterday's show as well, that because of the, you know, whole Tim Donaghy thing, the NBA official who was, you know, caught, doing some things he shouldn't have been doing, That's going to trickle into other sports. And because of the just absolute horrid job by John Perry's crew on the field this last Sunday, you know, in Indianapolis, I mean, you have to call into question because of some of the things that have gone on, the Patriots getting caught with their, you know, cameras and all that kind of stuff. The calls were so bad and so one-sided, it lends to people saying, well, I wonder if, even though they may not be anywhere close to that, but people are going to talk unless the subject gets addressed.
Well, I don't know. I mean, taken as a whole, like the what's wrong, you know, we're out against the Patriots. I don't know. I mean, what does the NFL have to address? I mean, I think that the officiating from this past game was not very good, and I would certainly question how and why the NFL had a first-year crew doing a game that, okay, maybe the NFL doesn't want to say, well, this game's bigger than any other or all that, but why a first-year official?
Well, like, if the NFL says that, then they're just being naive or stupid.
Right. But I'm
which
saying,
is
what,
it?
What I'm saying is they're, I don't blame them if they don't just come right out and say, this is the biggest game ever. But I don't think they should allow a first-year crew to do what clearly is a big game. Like, I just didn't understand that, but I don't, you know, I'm not sure what to read into that. But I don't know what the NFL has to address from a grander scale about the Patriots. I mean, they addressed the video Spygate scandal. They punished the team. Should they have disclosed exactly what they found on the tapes? Okay, maybe. I don't care, really, if they do or don't. They handled it, and they
the problem is, Brian, is that their silence has been deafening on the matter.
But on what else?
They've tried to sweep it under the rug
the video
without addressing it.
Well, probably. I mean, their motivation is probably, well, we don't want this to linger. And
but the problem is it's lingering. It's not working. What they're doing is not working.
Then what do you address? Like, tell people not to talk about
it? You need to go back to the very beginning and say and explain your actions, why you did what you did. And what your reasoning was behind it. If you want people to really believe in you and believe that you are on the up and up, which I think now that there is very real reason for the first time maybe ever to believe that the NFL is not entirely on the up and up with a lot of things, that maybe they are orchestrating some things, then you've got to come out and you have to have full disclosure. You can't just pick and choose what you want to deal with. You must have full disclosure.
Full disclosure on the video Spygate situation.
Yes, and on everything. And they need to address, you know, why you picked the crew that you did for this last game. And, you know, so what kind of research did you do in terms of, finding out whether or not it was the CBS or whether it was the Colts that were pumping sound into the, come on, you got to come up with all of these things.
I mean, certainly, taken individually, I mean, the choice of the referee crew, it's questionable. But, like, does the NFL now have to – and I agree with you. There might be something fishy there. But if the NFL feeds into we need to address why we did it, then why aren't they addressing why they make the decision on any crew? Like, I'm kind of curious to know how they pick which crew for which game. And I bet a lot of people are independent of this game. But does the NFL now have to explain itself on 16 games a week? And what I'm saying is –
Well, that's a good point. Like, that's actually a good point.
I'm saying there might be question marks with this crew and why they chose this crew, and maybe it would be a wonderful opportunity for Roger Goodell to, in some way, shape, or form, explain how or why they pick crews in general. But I don't think it's fair for the NFL to now have to explain itself for every choice.
Well, but the thing is, you know, I mean, first of all, I don't think anybody would care whether or not, you know, they explain themselves in a call in the Vikings versus San Diego Chargers game. What I'm saying is that you clearly have two teams here that are, you know, the best in the NFL at this stage of the game. It's a big rivalry, and there's a lot of interest in one of these teams based on what happened earlier in the season.
I agree. It's questionable why. I don't see why. What benefit it would be, even if the NFL does for some reason have some but if the NFL really is does have it out against the Patriots, I still don't understand why having a first year crew would benefit it, aside from, you know, maybe they can be influenced by the home crowd and all that. Like, I would still want there to be a good veteran referee for this game. I don't know. It was questionable. I don't understand why there would be this first year crew for this game. But I don't know if I'm asking the NFL to start explaining those kinds of decisions.
Okay,
but,
fair enough.
You know, I mean, it's an,
no,
it's
no, a, no, you make a good argument. I understand that. I my own personal thought is that you have to have full disclosure, but I can see where the NFL would say, well, we can't talk about every little thing that comes across
right.
the pipe.
And if they start to today on Wednesday, November 7th, because of a game 3 days ago where there's a lot of talk in the media and even players or all that talking about it, then the NFL would probably look worse by feeding into that. You know what I mean?
Well, they might. But again, you're talking about a team that, is right now, for better or for worse, it is their bell cow. I mean,
yeah.
That's part of the reason why, the NFL is moving the Patriots into the Flex TVs thing.
Absolutely.
Because they know they're going to get better ratings because it's the Patriots.
Right.
So there's more interest in the league if the Patriots are on television. You have to address this.
And I think
that's why you have to address it.
And Ed Hockley will be doing that game, right? Because he does primetime games, so he can show off his guns, right?
I would assume so. Yeah, I would assume
no,
so.
It's a good question. Now, then you mentioned the crowd noise thing, which is another interesting topic that I don't know if I completely buy the statement that CBS put out saying that it was a mechanical or funk, whatever, audio glitch on their end. I think there might be something, too, whether or not they pumped it in or not. I don't know if the NFL was involved in that, but... Yeah, I've been in that dome a couple of times, and unless they've been pumping in crowd noise every time I've been there, I don't know if there's much of a difference. That's a loud place, and I don't know how much pumping in crowd noise is going to factor in, because it's extremely loud anyways, I think. So I don't know what, I think it's one of the louder places anyways. So if you pump in a little more crowd noise, I think the opposing team is going to already have had enough trouble, and it probably won't even make a difference. You know what I mean? At that point. So
I'm sure that's the Colts reasoning behind it anyway.
Right. Now, if it is proven that they actually did pump in crowd noise, I think that there should be some kind of discipline there. But, I don't know if it's going to die just with the CBS statement saying it was their fault, or, did you see the WBZ cameraman having his anecdote about talking to a security guy?
Who, no, I don't think I saw that.
Yeah, well, WBZ actually, I saw it on their website, on WBZ's website, actually. They have a story and actually a video Q&A with a cameraman from WBZ who was there, and he was just telling his little anecdote that early in the game he mentioned to a security guard what seemed to be just an innocuous, man, it's loud, is it always this loud, blah, 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 kind of small talk kind of thing. And the security guard said, allegedly, this is what the BZ guy said, the security guard told him, well, we pump in, they pump in crowd noise. That's what they do here. That's how they get it so loud. Now, that's the anecdote from him. And if you have a chance to go, I'm not here, WBZ isn't paying me to give out their website or anything here, but if you have a chance to go to their website, I bet you can find it's like a two-minute Q&A video there. Now, what do you read into that? I don't know. Is it all true? I don't know, but it's out there.
That's funny.
So, who knows? Who knows?
That's funny.
But I wouldn't be stunned if that story isn't dead, if that story gets resurrected.
No, it wouldn't. Everything has life. Hey, everything has legs this season.
And it's the bye week. The Patriots and the Patriots media and all of us, we don't have too much new stuff to talk about over the next 6 or 7 days. So
right.
Maybe it gets resurrected. Who knows?
It wouldn't surprise me.
Who knows?
Want to do a few emails here?
Sure, yeah.
All right, here we go. Yeah. This one comes from Sean in Hazleton, Pennsylvania. He goes, I know it's an afterthought, but if Buffalo loses this week and we beat the Bills next week, we clinch the division. Due to a sweep of the Bills, plus the awful play of the Fish and the Jets.
Yeah, I think that's
anybody
true.
Think about that?
Well, yeah, I did. Now, the Bills play Miami this week. Now,
right.
It's at Miami. Maybe the Dolphins have a win in them, and maybe it's this week. I don't know. But if the Bills lose to Miami and the Patriots
and then we beat
the Bills,
it's
the Patriots
clinch.
Would have a six-game lead on Buffalo with six to go, but they'd have the tiebreaker. So, yeah.
Correct.
That would be – and you know what? And NBC, maybe they thought about that too. And And I don't know what the record is for earliest clinch, but I can't imagine. I mean, that
anybody
would be
clinching before that?
Well, that would be week 11. That would be week 11, and you would need to obviously be doing really well and probably be undefeated, but you'd have to have the rest of your division doing pretty poorly as the
right.
AFC East is.
Right.
But yeah, that's possible.
Yeah. He says, I don't think you talked about it, but what do we sign Adalys Thomas for if he's not going to be a big factor in the game of the year so far? I love Teddy Bruschi as much as anybody, but it was shown on Sunday he can't cover backs out of the backfield. You know, I think that's the one real negative that Pats fans nitpicked a little bit about. And we nitpicked a little on this yesterday. Fact is, the Patriots went with a lot of nickelback most of the game, went with a 4-2-5 set, and Thomas was not one of the linebackers in the game for most of the game. Now, the ultimate thing is that, well, they did win the game, so what's your argument here? However, it did seem to me to be a little bit of a sort of a, inconsistency when you go out and you get in a guy like Thomas in the offseason specific to address some of the issues you thought you had with the team after the AFC Championship game loss last year.
I have to think that it's injury-related, and he's been on the injury report. I have to think so, and here's why. I think that when he's at 100%, he's a linebacker, but he has the speed of a safety. You know, and ideally, a 100% healthy Adalys Thomas is able to be on the field and be able to run with, whether it's Dallas Clark, chase down Joseph Addai. I'm not saying he's as fast as Joseph Addai, but he gives you a good opportunity to counteract some of the speed that Indianapolis has. He probably wasn't 100% because the way they wanted to set up their defense by having at least five defensive backs, by having Colvin, one of their quicker quicker linebacker and fewer defensive linemen, clearly they wanted to have some more speed and athleticism defensively. And when Adalys Thomas was in there, for some of the time he was as a defensive lineman, which means that they weren't as demanding speed as much from him as they were maybe power size. So I really have to think that ideally he's in there 100%. And can match up well, or maybe Rodney Harrison did a great job on Dallas Clark, but be able to take some of the load off Harrison and defending Clark. I can't imagine it was disciplinary, and I can't imagine it was just scheme related, because I don't care what scheme you're in, Adalys Thomas at 100% has to be part of that scheme. You know what I mean?
So, well, you would think so.
You would think so. So I'm thinking it was he's not 100%, and maybe against other opponents. A 90% or 80% of Adalys Thomas is much more in the game plan. But in this game, they needed more speed. They had young defensive backs in there and more than they usually do in the game often. I don't know. That's what I think. I mean, you don't get much information out of Thomas, and we didn't get much information out of Belichick. Not that I expected to. But I think that that's probably what it is. And, if they meet up with the Colts again and Thomas is not on the injury report and he's 100%, I really think we'll see a lot of Adalys Thomas in that game.
B in Santa Monica says, Kevin Faulk has got to be the most underrated running back of the league. He does so many things well. Was it possible that Faulk was open on that first play of the game and Brady was just too taken by surprise by Mathis to get the ball to him? Also, wouldn't it make sense for the Pats to use the hurry-up offense just a bit more, particularly using Stallworth to the max, who looked great on his first catch as well as the second, and, of course, as Moss, Welker, Faulk, and Maroney all at the same time?
Great questions. And the Faulk on the first play of the game, you know, that's a good one, and I'd have to go back and look at it. I think Mathis just manhandled Nick Kazier to such an extent on that first play that I don't know if Faulk was open. I don't know if Brady was about to send it in his direction, but I think Brady probably just did the smart thing at that point and said, "Yeah, first play of the game, I don't want to set this tone, but I better just cut my losses right here." Good question though, and Faulk has had a great year. If he's durable this year, which hey, he's had his bumps and bruises in the past where he misses games. But if he stays on the pace he's at, catching the ball out of the backfield, change of pace running back, he's so valuable to this team. And, the stretching out for that touchdown at the end, I mean, that was a great play as well. Now, as far as the no huddle and the going quicker, I've thought about that a lot, but I really think I'd say they are at their best when they go up-tempo, no huddle, and have, say, 7 or 8 offensive skill position players who they kind of rotate in and out, but I guess when they go no huddle, they're not rotating them as much, but you got a bunch of different options. You catch the defense off guard, but maybe the reason they're so successful at that is they don't do it all the time, and they start doing it at times that might sneak up on the opponent. Like, did Indianapolis could they have anticipated that the Patriots were going to go no huddle, up-tempo, whenever they started doing that, end of the third quarter, early in the fourth? Maybe not. Maybe that was part of the plan, and it worked out well. Who was it? A couple times this year, they've opened the game in, I think maybe it was Cleveland, they opened the game in a no-huddle, shotgun, and they quickly go down the field and score. Well, maybe it's because they're catching the teams off guard. They can't do that all the time. It would lose its effectiveness. So that's probably part of it. But I agree. Stalwart's a big component to that shotgun offense. But I think they pick and choose their spots strategically, knowing that you can't do the same thing all the time. You got to keep the defense off balance.
Right. Gary from Syracuse. Guys, now that Don Shula has brought this up again, can you guys finally clear something up for me? I thought I heard someone say that it is not illegal to tape opposing coaches as long as they do it from their booth. Is this true? If this is true, then isn't that what Bill B did more of an infraction than cheating? And if this is also true, aren't other coaches doing this? Or are they all just hypocrites? And if Mangenius was a part of Bill's coaching staff, he must have been a part of the cheating. Why are we giving him a free pass? I don't believe that you're allowed to tape opposing coaches, period.
Correct. I think the rule, and I remember, I know I read it early in the season when this was the hot topic. I know for sure that part of the rule is no videotaping by the team of any kind on the field. So you can't have your team video department or coaches or whatever videotaping anything of any kind on the field. I'm 99% sure.
But what
sure.
about from the coach's booth?
Up in the coach's booth.
In the end zone.
I don't remember what the rule is on that. I think
you can't film the coaches, period, is what I think.
I think that's right. I think it's you can't film anything on the field.
Right.
And I don't think you can film coaches and signals and all that anywhere. It's one of those I know I mentioned this at the time. There's a valid argument in question is why is that the rule? Like, why not just let teams do it and they have to then fend for themselves when it comes to, hiding their signals or whatever. Let's let that, why is that a rule? Well, that's a good argument, but bottom line is it is a rule, and teams knew about it. maybe stealing shouldn't be a law in the country, but as long as it is, you can't do it, So whatever it was, I'm not sure what the letter of the law is on that, but, there's different guidelines on what you can and can't shoot, what the teams can and can't shoot. And you gotta play by those rules, I guess.
Okay, this one comes from this is from John in Boston, who says, in the past few years, the NFL seems to have more and more flaws in its reputation. Now, is it possible that I'm a diehard Pats fan and feel like we are being picked on? Sure it is. Does that make it impossible that my concerns are real? Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not out to get you. The Spygate not going away, Noisegate getting dismissed so easily, the refs who seem to answer to no one, and the announcers who always seem to have a biased opinion even when they try to disguise it. These are all symptoms of a bigger problem. I, for one, like Roger Goodell. I think he's doing a good job. More to the point, a fair job. Yes, I was disappointed in the Pats for Spygate. Yes, I was disappointed in Rodney Harrison, who's my favorite player, for the HGH violation. But now, Mr. Goodell, it's time to step up and be fair once again. No matter who it affects, Colts, the refs, it doesn't matter. It's what's right. The NFL needs to start tightening down or they are going to be about as reputable as professional boxing. Mm. Those of us Pats fans who single out bad calls by the refs have been called whiners by non-Pats fans. Well, what's worse? Identifying a governing body of the NFL trying to screw us or ignoring it and just allowing people to walk all over us? Name me one professional sports team that would be okay with that. I think that's an outstanding email, by the way.
Yeah, that's going back to what you were saying, that the NFL's got to address what's going on for grander.
That's obviously someone who agrees with me, which is not the only reason why it's an outstanding email. But he says it, I think, even more eloquently than I possibly could have. Sometimes when you kind of go off the top of your head, you filled with diatribe here, but I believe that that is exactly the point. Yes, I'm disappointed in what my team did, but you have to be fair to everybody, including against the Patriots. You got to be fair to the Colts, to the refs, to everybody around the NFL. You need to let everybody know what's going on and why you're doing things the way you're doing it. Otherwise, people are going to continue to call you into question. Your silence is what is deafening right now.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I just don't know what the NFL is, what the NFL is not doing. I mean, I know that there's some of these individuals, you know, this, like I said.
I'll tell you what they're not doing. They're not being forthcoming. And they're not being forthcoming because they don't think they need to be. They do want this to blow over, or they want it to sweep under the rug. And I'm saying you can't do that. It won't blow over. And the more you sweep under the rug, what happens, Brian, when you sweep dirt under the rug, what happens? Eventually, the pile gets big, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, the pile is getting big now, and it needs to be cleaned out.
Well, you know, okay, what do they do?
They, like I said earlier, they have to address this.
But what, address and say, we are not happy. What do they, what, address what? What are they addressing?
I don't know. They're addressing, you know, everything that happened with Spygate. They need to address the officials. They need to address, you know, the audio gate and anything other gate that comes along. But until they do,
well,
and they probably need to address, you know, what they're doing with their officials to ensure that an NBA-like thing like happened to Tim Donaghy doesn't happen in the NFL. They've never addressed that.
Well,
they've just assumed, oh, well, we're above reproach. How can anybody think that we would do stoop, you know? No, no. No one is above reproach these days.
No, I agree.
Nobody is.
They've addressed, you know, okay, they addressed the Spygate. They addressed
not entirely.
Sense of,
not entirely they haven't. They haven't explained why the fines, you know, were what they were.
Okay.
All they said was, you know, Coach Belichick is out this amount of money, the Patriots are out this amount of money, and they're forfeiting a draft pick. That's all they've said.
Well, okay. I mean, they but it wasn't fully explained, but it was addressed, and punishment was handed out. I think they put out a statement on the audio situation from the other day, following up, or at least Greg Aiello was quoted as saying CBS has taken responsibility and all that. Now, as I said earlier, I think that we may hear more about this, but they did, quote-unquote, address it. Did they fully explain everything? No. Do they fully believe that CBS is responsible? Maybe not, but, you know, they addressed that. Now, the referee situation, as we talked about, I mean, maybe there is something that has to be addressed there, but I just don't see from a grander scheme of things what they have to address as it relates to the Patriots and the Patriots being, perceived in a negative light or given an asterisk for what they've accomplished. I don't know what the NFL should do, and I'm not saying they're not culpable in any way, but what are they supposed to do to address it further? I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
Call a press conference. I don't know.
Yeah,
do something.
That's what I'm saying. But, like, what if they? If today they decide, you know what, we got to address this.
Take all of the wind out of the sails of people like Tom Curran and Greg Easterbrook and all those who have written articles, positively or negatively, about this issue.
So then, all of a sudden,
that would go away.
They admit that we have to address what the media says, whether we
The NFL should always address what the media says. What are you talking about? Always. The NFL is not a cartel.
No. I'm not saying they should, but what are they supposed to say about them? Don't say what you feel. How should the NFL address those?
Well, anybody, the problem here, Brian, and this is where I think and I'm not sure if this is you or if you're just being a contrarian here in the argument.
Well, I don't know.
But the problem here is that your silence is deafening, and what you're doing is you're allowing people to continue to believe that not everything is on the up and up. When it comes to your officials, when it comes to, you know, maybe the league being mad at the Patriots for Spygate. So, you know, I've heard a lot of conspiracy theorists believe that they sort of told the officials to, you know, go easy on the Colts and go hard on the Pats because we don't want the Pats to win. Now, I think that that's an extreme, and nor do I think that the NFL would ever do that. However, you're inviting the conversation when the results of the game are such like we saw on Sunday.
Well, here's what maybe could be happening is – members of the media, I don't know if Tom Curran, Greg Easterbrook, and all them are contacting the NFL and saying, hey, Can you give me your reaction?
Several of these people have done that, Brian. They have called, and the NFL has not issued a response at all.
Well, I mean, maybe then okay. I mean, maybe
because the NFL wants it to blow over. That's what I've said. They want it to go away, and yet we keep bringing up the subject. Why? Because they're not getting any answers.
Well,
the NFL doesn't feel the need to answer. That's their right. So what my point here is that it's going to continue to cause problems for them to exercise their right to silence.
Is it causing problems? I mean, okay, certainly
This will be more of an issue of league integrity if we get more funny calls like we got on Sunday for other teams' games. You know, if this somehow expands beyond just the sphere of the Patriots and the Colts. And even if it doesn't, let's say the Patriots play the Bills in 2 weeks and, you know, they get another 8 penalties for 150 yards. Or, you know, a couple of calls, you know, are kind of, you know, funny smelling like the calls were this last week.
Well,
it's going to keep coming back, and the NFL is going to have to answer to it.
You know, I don't know if there's previous examples of the NFL addressing or not addressing hard to say similar situations, because what, you know, has there been a similar situation?
But no, there really hasn't.
When has the NFL put out a statement or addressed controversial issues, and when has the NFL not addressed?
Well, Brian, here's the thing. The NFL has long been the popular league it is because it's been the forefront of everything. It's been proactive.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been on the top of marketing. TV has been cutting edge, okay? So why are we going back now to 19th century ways of dealing with things? Oh, just let it blow over. It'll go away. That totally flies in the face of an organization that has been proactive in everything else that they do.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's... You're right. They're proactive. They have a good PR handle on itself. And,
but this is not being handled well PR-wise. It's not.
Well,
there's just no other way to look at it.
I suppose. I mean, I just don't know if the NFL is if they should not feed into, but if they should have to address everything the media is saying and everything, all the innuendo and speculation.
Well, they should, because if they feel like the media is just so much flotsam and jetsam, then they're missing the point. I don't think the NFL thinks of the media that way, because the NFL needs the media to publicize their sport and keep their sport number one.
Well, maybe all this speculation and all the national reporters talking about are the Patriots getting calls? Are they not getting calls? Did they cheat? Did they not cheat? Is helping them, at least in terms of how the season's going, there's going to be more interest in watching them and in following them. Now, I'm not saying that supersedes the threat of losing your integrity, if that's ultimately what will happen here. But at least as these weeks are going on, people are interested and want to see what's going on with the Patriots, love them or hate them, and maybe that's what they're thinking right now.
Right. Right. Let's rip through a few more of these, so we can because that way we've got some locker room interviews we can get to. Carmine in St. Catharines says, in terms of integrity and trust, I've seen many wrong calls from the refs, and this is not getting any better. And if the NFL was worried about their integrity, I think this is the area they would work on. This weekend I saw, I think, Green Bay, Kansas City. A wideout catch the ball on the sideline, one foot on the white line, the other foot never contacted the field, so this is incomplete. And the replay still shot. There was one ref in front, one ref behind, and with the two of them watching the play, they still got it wrong. And then it goes on to say, the second reason here is the financial success is so great, why mess with it? That actually makes more sense to me than anything else.
Yeah.
You know what? They're making buku bucks, hand over fist. Why would we want to address anything?
Right.
As long as we keep making money, we're happy.
Right. So what if there's a team out there that has the Patriots that have some issues
right.
to deal with? So what? People are was this game against the Colts not the highest rated or one of the highest rated
It
ever?
Was the highest rated regular season game since the NFL began – the networks began keeping records in 1987.
Right. So – in some way, shape, or form, people are curious and suspenseful of what's going on with the Patriots, and they want to watch.
More than 66 million people in this country sampled at least 8 minutes of that football game on Sunday.
Right.
That's an amazing number.
Granted,
that's an amazing number.
If they were interested in football, this is pretty much the only option, as well it should have been.
Yeah, right. Todd in Nova Scotia. My question would be, why do home teams always get the call? That included the Pats, by the way. Refs are supposed to be unbiased, but it seems that home teams always get less calls than the visitor. The NFL needs to have a point of emphasis in the offseason for the refs to be aware of how the crowd can subconsciously affect these calls. I couldn't agree more. I think everybody understands that you know, subconsciously, you know, you tend to sort of side with the home team because of the crowd reaction and because you don't want to be the focal point of all that hate coming from the crowd.
Right.
Sometimes you go overboard and you try to balance it out by being negative toward the visitors.
And that's specifically one of the theories when it comes to a young referee. You know, a veteran, a guy who's been there for a while might not be feeding into the home crowd at all, whereas a younger, less veteran referee, rookie referee, might be more consciously or subconsciously siding with the home team because of what you just said, because of the crowd, you know, making their thoughts heard and just influencing the ref. That there's something to that. There very well could be something to that.
All right, Scott in Washington, D.C. says, John, earlier you said that you do not think that Belichick rules with the iron hand that many are led to believe he does. That's interesting and not something I heard much about. I'm certainly one who thinks he does rule with an iron hand. Could you please elaborate on that point you made a bit? I think my point was earlier was that, God, I'm trying to remember now when I originally said it. You say so many things, Brian.
Yeah.
Overall, I think most everybody thinks that everything revolves around Coach Belichick, even and that he has a hand in just about every facet of the operation. He has his hand in a lot of things. Certainly the football operations are concerned, but there are a lot of aspects to the Patriots organization in which Coach Belichick really has he doesn't have any influence over. Now, would you agree or disagree with that?
That there's aspects of the organization that he doesn't have control over?
Yes, correct.
Aspects of the football operations?
Not the football operation. I think he has pretty much a hand in just about everything that has to do football operation.
Right.
But there are a lot of other aspects around this organization that go into making the total package that are the New England Patriots.
Sure.
That he has nothing to say or do.
If it happens between the lines, between the football lines, he's running the show. If it happens outside of that, no, you're right. There's other people, yeah. And
he also does, to my estimation and to my knowledge, you know, take quite a bit of feedback, you know, from his assistants and from those, you know, in the football operations staff. And he and obviously Scott Pioli share information daily, if not hourly, about,
right,
you know, things that are going on amongst the football field. And all that is digested before any action is ever taken.
Right.
It's not like, you know, my word is law and everybody else comes second.
Right. No, I think he delegates. I think he listens. I think he trusts. I mean, I think he only has people who work for him who he trusts, and he might be making the final call, and he might demand that he is, you know, kept up to date on everything that the people below him are responsible for. But, yeah, he trusts them, and he delegates, and I think that's huge, and I think that's maybe what back in Cleveland maybe he wasn't able to do, and that might be the downfall of a lot of coaches, but he's...
Right.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that, sure.
Okay. This one comes from Makia, who says he's responding now to Karen's email earlier. She wrote about, you know, how Belichick really is at fault for a lot of the stuff that's going on here. And he says, well, while Bill Belichick has to take some of the blame for all of the talk of Spygate and the negative Patriots PR, the media needs to take some of the responsibility. The media, be it radio hosts, no offense, John, well, none taken there, Makia, or television commentators keep talking about Spygate after the commissioner has handled the situation. Whether or not people agree with the decision made, it is ultimately irrelevant. It was made. Unless someone is going to usurp power in the NFL and relaunch the investigation, there's nothing you can do about the commissioner's decision. So get over it, move on. And BB being short and unpleasant during press conferences is nothing new. The media pressing him with questions they know he won't answer.
So ridiculous.
And they're making his press conferences manners a topic of discussion when they should have been over it years ago. It's not new, so it's not news.
Well,
some truth to that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the media, I don't know about the media having blame for much of this, but, you know, I mean, the questioning the way he handles himself at press conferences, you know, I mean, I don't think people are talking about that as far as how it affects him how it affects him coaching. I think it's more just the person.
And her email earlier basically said that the reason the Patriots are in the shape that they are is because of the way he treats people.
Well, what shape are they in? They're not. What shape are they in? Well,
being gone from Patriots
evil,
to villains.
They're now evil. Well,
yeah,
it's going to turn into them motivating themselves to be better and better. I don't know. I mean, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. But the shape they're in, they're not concerned about the shape they're in from a perception standpoint. they're concerned about being punished by having and losing a first-round draft pick and the monetary fine. And when it comes to that, yeah, there's some concern there. But I don't think they ever have been concerned with the perception. If they were 0-9, maybe there'd be some it would seep into the way they handle themselves and all that. But, you know, the shape they're in, I think they're okay with the shape they're in.
Right.
I'm talking about from their perspective, I don't think they're bothered. I don't think they're bothered by all this stuff. You know, individuals, like I was saying earlier, Brewski, I mean, I think he feels that, you know, that you never want to be questioned by people and question your integrity. But I don't think collectively they're bothered by it in the woe is us. We're in rough shape here because of all this negative perception. I think they're okay with all that.
This one comes from William in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, who says, John, I'd hate to think that the NFL would not be fairly run. I also would be very disappointed in the officiating crew Sunday if it was proven that such a poor job performance was deliberate. I, like most Patriot fans, were upset at the league just brushing off St. Dungy and Evil Polian's fake crowd noise and the communication problems we had in Indy. Makes me wonder just who and what is the agenda when attacking the Patriots so harshly. I know we have won our share of championships, and with that comes a nation of haters just looking for excuses why we've won. Maybe the Colts have been pumping fake crowd noise for years, too. Why are the Pats singled out? Don Shula, why don't you criticize one of your former coaches? I know we got caught with the camera, and Jimmy Johnson said on the Fox pregame in Week 2 that he also did this with the Cowboys. He also said he sent interns into opposing coaches' press boxes after games to sift through trash. Where does the hypocrisy stop? I say it again, camera or not, 19-0 will happen, I guarantee it. And by the way, he says, John, I'm sorry to inform you, the votes fell short. We have the incumbent still in office. I will start now for the next 4 years promoting John Rook for Mississippi governor. He wanted to write me in as a candidate for Mississippi governor for some political thing I said a couple of days ago.
So. And did he write you in? You just didn't get
enough
votes?
He apparently wrote me in. Yeah. I just didn't get enough votes.
How many did you get? One?
I don't know. I guess I got one.
Maybe a few friends and family? Of that
hey,
guy.
I get, that's, you know. One more than a lot of people.
Not as many as Ted Sarandos.
Yeah, he didn't make much of a dent, did he? Did he run for anything this year?
I don't think so.
No.
Not that I know.
Was that last year, Gary? Yeah.
I'm not going to allow you to drag this program into a morass of negativity.
There you go. That's what it's been, John. A lot of negativity today.
Total negativity. All right, here we go. A couple of more here. Let's see. This one, they don't say who it's called. It comes from Josh. Losers like seeing people fail. It's easier to destroy someone and bring them down, making them human and less than you, than admitting someone may actually be better than you and you need to work harder. By bringing the Patriots down and making them out to be cheaters makes people in other teams who are not as good feel better about themselves without actually improving their game. It's so much easier to call the Patriots cheaters and say they are not gods rather than improving one's self. Probably some truth to that.
Sure.
At least that's what I preach to my kids, you know, when somebody picks on them in school, right?
Right.
Ed sends this one in from Houston. Says, in memory of the 72 Dolphins, the Pats will beat the 2007 Dolphins 72-0. It is possible. 2.5 touchdowns per quarter. He says, I bet BB will do it. There you go.
There'll be back-to-back games there where they'll be looking to win big. Jets and
I think
Dolphins.
Yeah. Between that one and the Jets game. Oh yeah.
Closing out the home slate.
That's major squishage, huh?
Yeah.
Pratt in Germantown, Maryland. As far as Don Shula's comments go, it is very bothersome to hear something that classless from a Hall of Fame coach like him. First off, this is something that was caught and dealt with by the NFL in the first week. Seeing as the Patriots have won every single game since then, including their biggest challenge in Indy, I can't understand how a class guy like Shula would go out and make a comment like that instead of giving the Patriots credit and credit only for working their bleeps off and winning games impressively. Mm-hmm. If this cheating nonsense was caught during the playoffs, I can understand the issue being as big as it is. But after catching a team in Week 1, the argument no longer holds water because you have to believe the NFL is watching every team for violations, and the Pats especially. I'm tired of hearing this much negativity about the Patriots, where every little story about them spreads like fire. The story about the Colts pumping out artificial crowd noise has already been dismissed, and I doubt that it was a thorough investigation done on that. That's exactly why I asked the question. Is the NFL on the up and up here? It is quite annoying, he says, to see that one team gets that much hate, yet the Pats just keep on winning, and that is what keeps us fans going. Shula spoke a little too soon, because if I were him, I would speak only after the Patriots had achieved the 16-0 record, not before. as many teams such as the Colts and Chargers have come very close to matching that record, but then don't remember hearing anything from Shula then. I'm glad our team has the thick skin they do. There is no need for players and coaches to worry about this crap because our goal is to win the Super Bowl, and that is it. Spoken like a true fan.
Yeah. Good points. Yeah, no, Shula, I don't understand why, the benefit was for him to be
Gary, saying. Did you say we had a call? James in Roanoke Rapids, Virginia. James, how are you?
Actually, North Carolina.
Oh, okay, good. Thank you. How's it going,
how
James?
How y'all doing?
Great.
Yeah, I had a couple comments to make. One, y'all talking about why the NFL would put a rookie crew on a big game like that.
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard the term plausible deniability?
Legally speaking, rarely.
Well, actually, what it is if the crew, if they have a problem with the calls they make, you just say, "Oh, it's a rookie crew. They just made mistakes."
Well, you know, that actually makes a lot of sense. You know, plausible deniability probably is as good a reason as any.
Yeah, I don't think he did it on purpose.
But that's not the reason. That's not the reason for having that first year crew do the game in the first place. I think that's more the. You make a great point, but that might be the. The bigger question is, well, it is such a big game. Why have that first-year crew in the first place? I don't know.
The other point I wanted to make is this. Y'all were talking about the audio, and it said CBS said that there was their problem.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody has the, said someone said if you get the audio from the Patriots broadcast, you might can hear the same thing on there if it wasn't CBS.
Right.
You go on PhilPass, they have a recording of the audio.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was some place you can check it out.
And did you do that?
I haven't checked it out because I don't have Field Pass.
Oh, okay.
But I did.
Well, then I would ask somebody if you have Field Pass to go back and check it and see if we can get to the bottom of this.
That's a good point.
Okay. All right. Thanks, y'all. Y'all have
James,
a good day.
Thanks for listening in, and thank you for the phone call. It's always appreciated.
Yeah, Roanoke Rapids,
North Carolina.
That was one of the things, you know, reading, like, well, did anyone who was in the building, notice anything? And, you know, I was in the building. I didn't notice it, but I don't know if I would have. I'm not really paying attention, and I don't know how obvious it would have been. But, you know, that is a question of everybody who was there. Did anyone notice, because you would have heard it, obviously, if they're piping it in and there was some skipping or whatever, you would have heard it, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you're in the building. I don't know. I feel like maybe there'll be more to this. I don't know. I just feel like...
All right, a couple of other quick emails, and then we're going to get to some locker room interviews, as we've been promising all show here. This one comes from... Gosh, who said this? Oh, this is from Nick, who says, no, this anti-New England Patriots fervor started long before the 07 Pats-Jets game. I guess he's saying that he doesn't think the NFL is crooked. I was on the road for most of the 06 season and noticed that as the season started to get down to the Pat-Colts game, I started to hear over various local area sports talk radio shows disparaging remarks about the Pats, which were usually preceded by anybody but New England in the Super Bowl. I also heard the then talk of taking out New England players. So this anti-Pat sentiment started well before this season. This year in Miami, retired Dolphin player sports talk show hosts have come right out advocating that players on teams opposing the Pats should take shots at Brady and company. Is the officiating crooked? Well, I think there is a mindset from the commissioner's COBOL that it works its way down into the ranks of game officials. It seems to be a part of the NFL's culture. I don't know how it actually permeates as such, but I strongly believe that there are, and throughout the NFL's history, a number of examples. He goes into a lot of other stuff anyway, but says it's not a case of addressing everything the media puts out there, but PR must be managed. Final note here, Brian, this one comes from our friend Craig in South Carolina.
Yep.
And he says, Brian, this is what we could ask Goodell to explain. What did you find on the tapes turned over by the Pats? How many hours of tape were reviewed? Why were the tapes destroyed? Explain the officiating as dictated by Tom Curran's article. Did you listen to the radio broadcast of Colts Pass to see if the audible anomaly exists? If so, how can you explain the NFL statement that it was CBS tape feedback experienced only by the viewing public? Did you listen to the Colts radio broadcast? Did you listen to Replayer's Field Pass internet broadcast? Are they investigating the communication issues from coach to quarterback during the game? Those are just some of the questions that I think a lot of journalists would probably ask of the NFL that they have so far refused to, directly answer.
Well, and those are good questions. Those are, like I said, I mean, they could they explain more about the video controversy? Yeah, maybe they could. I mean, could they explain more about what their statement was in the audio? Maybe they could, but they addressed those. I mean, I don't know. I mean, yeah, if journalists and national media are asking them, hey, I'm about to put this story out there, to be fair, I want your reaction to it, and just one after the other saying, nope, we're not commenting, then yeah, I mean, I see your point. I mean, I see where it would benefit them to ultimately not put out a statement, but answer a question that a national member of the media is asking, and maybe they will. I don't know. I just don't know about a grand, here's what we're here. We're explaining this, the grand scheme of what.
Well, the question is, well, here's the thing, and I see your point. Certainly, I see your point. But the problem is the questions aren't going to go away. If anything, the questions are going to continue to come in waves and in droves. And the only way that they stop and we can actually move on and we can get to football and winning and losing here is if these questions get addressed. That's the only ultimate way that it's going to happen. I understand. Well, you know, if you keep answering questions, then they're never going to go away. Well, that's a different way to look at it. I personally believe, though, that if you address these things specifically, and then you go into this, I'll play Roger Goodell for a moment. I'm going to address this specifically. I'm going to address it one time. I'm going to give you exactly the reason why we made it, and then I'm not going to ever address this subject again because we want to get on with the business at hand, which of course is conducting, a football season, and then answer the questions as they're coming forth. I mean, what do you have to hide? If you have nothing to hide, why do you not answer the questions? Yeah. That's what I want to know. And then you don't answer the questions? Well, then maybe you do have something to hide. That's why I brought into play today is the NFL on the up and up.
Yep.
Because they're just not answering the questions that I think it's about time we start to get some answers for. And this last weekend's escapades are just the latest round of charades. Just the latest, and it's gonna. And anytime something else happens, and it doesn't have to be exclusively Patriots or Patriots Colts, it can happen in another game, in another arena, another stadium, another team, and it's gonna come back out around. And sure enough, somebody's gonna attach it to. Well, hey, yeah, how about when the Patriots played the Colts, or how about when the Patriots did Spygate? You know, it's gonna always come back to us because we're the ones that were there at the front of it. The NFL has some issues, some real stories that they got to answer. So.
Yeah, no.
I don't know, though. I tend to agree with you. I don't think they ever will, to be honest with you.
You know, people are still talking about the football, and they're watching in record numbers, so there is the why mess with that right now? At least as the season's playing out, and, you know, hey, maybe there's, you know, whenever in March or whatever, when they have the competition committee meetings and all that, you know, maybe there's an opportunity at that point to say, all right, we've had some issues. We have some issues with refereeing. Here's what we're changing. Here's what we're addressing and all that. As the season's playing out right now, and it's not like people are not talking at all about what's going on the field and record-breaking stats by Randy Moss and Tom Brady and all that. They still are. They're watching in record numbers. The NBC wants to get as many Patriots games as possible in prime time. The amount of people who have been covering the team during the week at the game are like AFC Championship game week-esque. And there's something right, at least. I mean, they're doing something right. At least it's all feeding into the curiosity element of it, and people want to watch what's going on with this team.
Right. Hey. Bilo, what's going on Patriots today?
Well, today's kind of our did the bye week come at the right time? What are player thoughts on the bye week? I think might be some of the sound and locker room thoughts that we're going to hear in a minute. Just talking about where the team stands right now, kind of a silly question. Are they where they want to be? They're first ranking in just about every category. But, giving out some of the stats and talking about all that and a few other news and notes as well. And might be the bye week for the team, but hey. Not for you and
not
me,
a
right?
bye week for not, Patriots today.
Not for Patriots, web radio.
That's exactly right.
Right? I mean, you're not taking a day off, are you?
Of course not. No, absolutely not. No, we're hard at work here. Trying to make things happen. All right, what did he say? What'd you say?
I said that depends on your definition.
Hard at work.
Always, or hardly
Always.
Working.
Always, that's
Hardly
right.
working. Maybe that's, right. maybe that's more of a, an apt definition. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you.
Gary, who are we hearing from in the locker room?
Richard Seymour and Rodney Harrison.
Excellent, excellent. All right, so here you go. Richard Seymour and Rodney Harrison from the Patriots locker room as the Pats head into the bye week. Same Pats time, same Pats channel right here inside the playbook tomorrow.
Second game back for you. Did it feel better than the first as far as your own conditioning and ability to play?
Oh, definitely. Anytime you have another game up under your belt, I think it's always good. Like I said before, I'm definitely not where I want to be. But, it's good to, get two games and also have the bye, continue to get healthy and, do the little things as far as conditioning is concerned. And, hopefully play my best football moving down the stretch when we definitely need it.
From a team standpoint, are you guys where you want to be?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, I think we put ourselves in a great position, and that's all it is put ourselves in a great position, 9-0 going into the bye. So that definitely feels good. I think, the guys have fought hard, they practiced hard, they did the things that it takes to be 9-0, and it definitely feels good. But, it isn't our ultimate goal. Like I said, we just put ourselves in a position, and have an opportunity to do some great things. But right now, that's all that it is, but it definitely feels good.
Richard, you've been a part of the Super Bowl championships. Does this feel any different?
Well, I mean, it's mid-season for us at this point, and, in all of those championship runs, I think we played our best football in November, December, and January. So this team is yet to accomplish that or do that. But, like I said, we still have that in front of us, and, we look forward to that opportunity, though.
How could this team possibly get better after being 9-0? What do you do in the second half?
Well, we up front, we can stop the run better, we can break down and make tackles. And in the first half, I think that of the ending game, I think that was one of the things that we definitely could have done better was tackling. It's to give us the opportunity, coaches can draw it up, but you still have to go out there and make plays. And, for us defensively, that's one of the things that we have to do, go out and, tackle, be where we're supposed to be. And, for myself personally, get in good shape and be ready to go.
Richard, what did you think of that story of the noise supposedly being pumped into the dome?
I mean, I heard of it, but I don't really think much of it. I'm on the sideline during that time. It's quiet when I'm out on the field when we're on away game. So, but it definitely was loud in there. I'm not sure, if the story that was said. I really don't try to get too caught up in that.
Do you think of Rodney's performance?
Oh, awesome! Since I've been here, he's obviously had some primetime performances, but this definitely ranks up there. Covering one of their best players. Coming off of injury field, last few seasons and still to be able to play at a high level, I think it just, speaks volumes of his preparation. And, even this week, he was in the film room all week long, so it doesn't surprise me of what he's been able to do.
With the role that you're on, do you even want the bye week?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. I don't ever think bye week is a bad thing, for us, because, when you can get healthy and, it's a physical game. And anytime you're able to heal up and, I think it's always good for a football team.
What are you going to do during the
bye week? To be determined. I'm not sure yet, but I'm definitely I'm going to be working, though. I can tell you that much. I'm definitely going to be working because I still have a lot of work to do personally. I know a lot of the guys, having training camp and, also playing 9 games, it can be, physically demanding on the body. But like I said, for me personally, it's like my second week of training camp. So, I just probably just do some cardio, but I'll probably run on the beat somewhere, I can tell you that.
With a week off, when do you think of Buffalo?
Oh, you know what? We've already kind of scouted them a little bit. And, just kind of be familiar with them. I know they won the last 4 out of 5 games. And, they're on a roll. And I'm sure a lot of people saw what they did to Dallas that Monday night game. So, we have our work cut out for us. It isn't a team that, no one's overlooking. They have a good running attack. So, defensively, for us up front, it's going to be a big challenge. And, that's what we want. We want a team to come in and try to run the football, or, well, we go there. Mm-hmm. But, it's going to be an intense game, and we look forward to it.
Richard, what would it mean to you to go 16-0?
Well, I'm just trying to go 10-0 at this point, but that would be a great accomplishment.
Did you get a chance to listen to Don Shula's comments today, basically saying if you guys do go 16-0 or whatever is done at the end, but with you guys this season because of the whole Spygate thing, that there's going to be an asterisk next to your accomplishment. How do you feel when you hear a guy like Don Shula say that?
Well, I really don't pay too much attention to it. You know, I think everyone has their opinions, and, you know, they're entitled to them. But, you know, nothing that that I've done or that I've seen this team done, you can put an asterisk by it because, you know, guys in the weight room, I mean, you can't put an asterisk by guys being in the weight room, guys being in the film room, conditioning, running across the field and hustling, you know, so I mean, they're entitled to their own opinions, but the only thing we can go out and do is play good football and, you know, try to put some wins together like we've done so far. Well, you understand that it's out there, you know, but as far as getting caught up in it, we don't. We really don't get caught up in it. You know, I think, you know, sometimes maybe you know, in the past, we always kind of rallied around some things, and, you know, we'll see what happens.
You know, we still got 7 weeks to go for the regular season, or 8 weeks, whatever it is. But it's just a great opportunity for all the guys that have been here that have been going through a tough season to just take some time out and get healthy. I don't think much about them. It doesn't matter. I mean, at the end of the day, you have to deal with all the situation and circumstances that present itself, and you just have to go out there and make plays.
What would it mean to you guys if you did go 16?
We're just looking forward to this rest this week, and then next week we'll start on Buffalo. But I don't know about all that 16-0. We're 9-0 right now.
Are you already thinking about Buffalo right now? Or?
Excuse me?
Did you pick up something on game film about Dallas Clark and the type of leagues you run or type of things that they like to do, places he likes to?
Well, I think that's what film study is about, and I'm not going to say anything in particular, but, you know, I've worked extremely hard, you know, since I've been back and really during my career studying film and trying to pick up tendencies and stuff like that and just going out there challenging him. He's a tremendous tight end, one of the best in the game. And we were able to neutralize him, and that was the whole key, not letting him beat us.
Can you maybe expound upon what you said on the radio yesterday in regards to that? I think you said you were up at 4 a.m. on Sunday morning rewatching some film, and maybe there was a play in the first half of that game that was similar to the interception, but you were in a different coverage.
Well, maybe not that particular play, but some other different plays that allow us to, you know, pick up certain keys and stuff like that. I mean, they're a very tough offense to try to read because they have so many different components to their offense, the ability to, you know, switch plays and a hurry-up offense and pass, run, play action. So it's very tough. So you can't guess against them. You have to play sound, fundamental football and make a play when you have an opportunity.
Is that it?
All right,
we're
just chiming
in.
What are you
going to
do for the bye week?
Rest, relax. Mm-hmm. On a roll that you're on, do you even want a bye week to happen?
Yes. Yes, guys need the break, need a chance to get away from football and just really mentally get recharged and come back and look forward to playing Buffalo.
At this point, Rodney, after the not being around for the first 4 weeks, do you feel you're totally back physically, mentally, in every element and aspect?
Yeah, I think I am. Been working extremely hard in practice with conditioning, just from a mental aspect and in the film room, preparation in the weight room, and just making sure that I'm ready to go in all aspects of my game, and I feel like I'm ready.